Ons vir jou, wat nou? Where the manna will discuss and cover all relevant topics and questions you might have on areas such as paspoorte, international rules and retirement, as well as internationale gesprekke with SAFA besigheidseienaars and restaurante abroad. Welcome to Season 3, Bits and Bobs.
Welcome back to Ons Vir Jou Wat Nou, the podcast. It's been a while and we're back with episode in Season 3, Bits and Bobs. And today we are talking, well, me and Edwin, we are talking to Marlies, who is actually not an expat in that sense, but she's done an expat thing. So very curious to hear a bit more about that and to have a chat to her. Edwin, first of all, how's things going?
Hey, buddy. No, it's going well. It's really busy at the moment. So I haven't had the chance to get to the copper to get my hair sorted out like you have.
Yeah, I've been to the copper, and the copper has thought he needs to take a bit more off than I wanted him to. So like a court, maar it's okay. Die somer is op pad. Yeah, so good. Well, good to hear it's going well. Marlies, how are you doing? And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am doing very, very well. I think the weather here in South Africa is much nicer than there up where you guys are. I'm enjoying the sun. I'm happy.
That's normally our biggest point of jealousy when we talk to people back at home, as we still refer to it. So thanks for joining the show. Just tell us a little bit of background about you before we jump into the let's say topic of the show.
Awesome. So I am 24 years old. I grew up in Cape Town. I've been here my whole life, and yeah, a couple of months ago I decided to do something crazy and jump completely out of my comfort zone. And yeah, I guess that's the main topic of our conversation today. But I decided to quit my job and jump on a plane and go volunteer overseas at different NGOs through Workaway. So yeah, that's me.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So before we indeed get into that topic, I think, Edwin, maybe we should get into the SAFA index and get that done and dusted, and then we can have an interesting conversation ahead.
Yes, I agree, because I'm really keen on getting stuck into Workaway, and I think there's a lot of people that's really curious that's listening now. So let's get the SAFA index out of the way,
yeah,
buddy.
Indeed.
Welcome to the SAFA index.
For today's SAFA index, just for everyone, a small recap: we compare a few prices of a product across a few of the countries where we know a lot of South African expats live. And for today's SAFA index, we went for a 1.5 liter bottle of water, since that's something you need to have with you when you travel. But that's also quite an essential product in life. So we've seen in South Africa for 1.5 liter water, and just a small disclaimer, these prices were end of last year, so inflation has been at work quite a bit. So the prices might be a little bit behind what it's now. But in any case, it still gives a good point of reference. South Africa, it is around 18 rands for a bottle of 1.5 liter water. The most expensive is, as very often, Australia with 37 rands. This ice stave.
Double.
Then America, 14 rand. Canada, 17 rand. The Netherlands, 12, which is also quite surprising. New Zealand 11, the UAE 11, and the UK 18 rand. So I must say, in general, quite comparable. It's only Australia that's it's a bit out there, but that's generally the case. So
it's a water is scarce over there. Water yeah. Scarce over there in the flatland, you know.
Apparently. So that was the SAFA index. Jumping into the show. So Ed, first of all, how did you and Marlies meet to be able to have her as a guest on the show today?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short. There is a town/city in Laos where we traveled in October and a little bit over November. And we were at a night market, food market. and Laverne went to get something to eat. I kept our spot at one of the tables, and you know, she took a little bit longer than I thought to order a society doesn't take that long. So she took a little bit longer. And when she eventually came back to the table, she said, yeah, she just met a lovely, lovely girl from South Africa. And they started talking. And I think at that point they exchanged numbers. And the next thing you know, we spent the next 4 or 5 days traveling, you know, with Marlies. And that's how I know Marlies. I don't know if the story is accurate, but that's my version of it. And by then we learned why is she there. We were only there for traveling. We were there as we took our holidays and we went traveling. But Marlies, you went for a whole different reason. So why were you there at that point when we met?
Oh, this is quite a loaded question, I feel. So I was actually very unhappy in my job. I didn't feel that it was going in the direction where I wanted my career to go in. And I was wondering, you know, what's the next step going to be? And I really wanted to make an intelligent decision about that. So I was looking for something where I can expose myself to a variety of work environments, many different skills, so that I can get a feel for what type of things I really enjoy and in what type of things I have a natural flow with. So then I decided to go now to Asia, to different countries and volunteer at these different places. And Laos was actually my second country. And I was volunteering there during the time. And I remember actually I was ordering my food, and it was the best feeling for me when your wife asked, if someone stood behind me and they asked me, is that a South African accent? And I was like, oh, it was such a happy moment for me. It's really still one of my highlights, being able to speak Afrikaans in a foreign country. It's at that moment, I think it was about 6 weeks since I've spoken Afrikaans to anyone other than my mother. Wow. Yeah. But it was it's really something that you appreciate that I didn't expect to, but it was awesome.
Well, yeah. That's something I think we still also, or even though there are a lot of South Africans everywhere now, when you somewhere randomly hear someone speak Afrikaans or have an accent, it's always, you still feel that way. So it's nice to know even people that has left South Africa not for that long also have that feeling. So that's cool. But so just jumping into that, so I understood from Edwin and from yourself, now you've were in a few places to see a few different things. But tell us a bit more, like, how did you get exposed to the platform called Workaway? How's your experience? How did you come across that? And how does that whole system work? Because I think this is something very interesting for people in your situation want to get out of South Africa or explore some of the other cultures and things the world has to offer. So just give us a bit of insight into that.
Definitely. So I knew of a couple of people who had done Workaways similar to people who do Contiki tours and so on. And it was always very much out of my frame of reference. I heard of people doing it, but it was never really something that I thought I could do, mostly because I thought it, you know, people need a lot of money to travel. And I was like, I'm not in close to that phase in my life. So I never put much thought into it. When I then started considering other options in my career, I remembered this, and I just decided one day to hop onto the Workaway website and have a browse around. What's really nice is you can browse through all of the full platform without subscribing. So that's a really, really nice thing. Before you even have to pay for anything, you can get a full idea if that's something you'd like to do or not. So I think that's definitely a really, really nice aspect about it. So the Workaway platform, for those who don't know, it's basically a way for people to volunteer anywhere in the world at a variety of hosts. And the concept is that you work or volunteer in exchange for food and accommodation. So for many people, it's a cheap way of traveling, which I guess it is. But for many other people, it's a way where they can really make a difference somewhere. And I think that's something that maybe we could incorporate in our travels as well. Like, maybe a week of the 2 weeks, you can just go volunteer somewhere and actually make a lasting impact somewhere. Yeah. But anyways, that's just my personal opinion about it. So the platform, yes. So if you go on there, you can literally type in any location that you can think of. You can put it as broad as a country or even as a continent, or you can narrow it down even to the small town where we were, Luang Prabang in Lao, you know, as big or small as you'd like to go. And then a range of the hosts in that area would pop up on the search results. Another really nice feature about it is that you can search by keywords. So for me, for example, I really wanted to volunteer at NGOs or nonprofits. So then I typed that into the search bar, and then it popped up all the in the profiles whenever they mentioned NGO or nonprofit, all of those search results came up. So it's a really nice way if you are looking for a specific type of volunteering that you'd like to do. It's a nice way to do that. And yeah, so basically then you can browse around, you can look at all of the hosts, and you can even like them, you can make folders. And then when you get to the point where you'd like to get in touch with the hosts, then you need to now sign up. And it's also not that expensive. It was 800 Rand. You can, well, at the time when I did that, but you can also sign up as a couple or as a family. I think there's quite a few different packages. So there are many options for that. And then that is valid for a whole year. So you have access to everything then. Yeah. So you can contact the hosts and then get started from there.
Well, it really sounds like, as you mentioned, like it has two sort of positive sides. And also, if you, to your point, can't afford to do like this big travel of the world, this gives you that opportunity. So I think this is something that if it wasn't on someone of our listeners' radars, might probably pop on there. I also had a look at it and it looks really cool. I actually searched for something with animals in South Africa. I thought, like, when I go back, maybe you can do like a week. When even so, you can do that. I don't know, also some sanctuary or something, and then go see your friends and family. So it actually looks very cool. Why did you choose that part of the world? I mean, as you said, you can visit all across the globe. What made you interested in that part?
So that was not initially my first continent that I wanted to go to. I really wanted to go to a third world country because, well, I wanted to go. I wanted to have a bit of a culture shock and I wanted to see how people live that don't live like we do. Yeah. So I initially planned on going to South America, and then there was a whole... Yeah, I got to the point where I nearly bought tickets, and then I luckily went to a travel agent, and I would really recommend this to people who don't do this often. And we realized that I would have to organize so many visas to even just get to South America, and it would take too long to get all of those visas. So for me also, it was important to go to countries that where I can get a free 30-day visa, or I wanted to keep my costs as low as possible, but also I didn't want to deal with a lot of admin beforehand. Yeah. It had to be as easy as possible. I traveled alone, and it was the first time that I did something like that, so I needed it to be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
Then the prices also were ridiculously expensive to get there, like way more than it normally was. So then, yeah, it was crazy. I had I actually planned on resigning my job at the end of that week, and I went the Monday to the travel agent, and we realized this isn't going to happen. We're not going to go to South America. And I had 3 days to plan a whole new trip to see if it would still be feasible. So she recommended then Asia to me. So that day I hopped onto all of the, she recommended a few countries to me, Thailand, Laos, in that area, Vietnam, etc. And yeah, then I just sent out as many messages as I could. And then I just wanted to have heard back of a couple of people before I go and buy my plane ticket there. So it was crazy, but that's actually how I got to choosing those countries. And then, as I mentioned, I wanted to volunteer at the NGOs. So that was the keyword that I looked for. And then I, in the first country in Thailand, I volunteered at an elephant sanctuary, ethical, no touching, no bathing, no feeding, educational, we love elephants, and wildlife sanctuary. So that's what I did there. And then in Laos, I volunteered at, the guy had like a farm to table operation. So he had an agricultural little garden. And then, he had many different projects that he actually ran, but it was also really important to him to support and empower the community. So he often, in these little towns, there's the classic tourist thing that you do, but he knew about all the other interesting things that are there as well. And like his friends, for example, and he then initiated boat cruises that would take them to these places. Like, that isn't on the normal tourist itinerary there. So it was really awesome. I helped him there to initiate sunset cruises on the river, and it was just so awesome to be there. That's where I met them. And then my last country was Indonesia. I actually planned to go. The one skill that I wanted to expose myself to was teaching. Mm-hmm. So I planned on going there because I had this amazing opportunity to learn from this guy who had so much, like a whole variety of students that he teaches to and on various levels. So it was awesome. And then, that one went a bit off the tracks, but it's part of the process as well. I think it's important to communicate well with the hosts. Also understanding that they speak, English is not their first language. No. So communicating with them, obviously depending on which countries you're communicating with, but if you communicate with people whose main language is not English, then take that into account and try and set up a video call with them beforehand so that you make sure that both parties are on the same page. I think that's a very important thing, especially women who travel alone. You want to make sure that you'll be safe and that you know what you're walking into. So
I think that's quite good advice, but
that is very good advice.
Yeah,
because I thought when we met you, I thought, wow, women traveling alone. So that's a very good point there. I just had a question before we move on, just on something that you said. It's just, did you in fact then get the culture shock that you were looking for?
I must say, in Thailand, not so much. Okay. I mean, the markets were quite a big shock for me. Especially someone who tries to eat more on the vegetarian side, it was really intense for me there. But Thailand, I didn't really, maybe I didn't travel enough in all the different areas. In Laos, I loved the culture there. It was very different to what I'm used to. Very slow, very relaxed. Everyone's on their own time. If they say we meet at 12, you can know you'll probably only meet at 1:30. So it was like it was really the first week I got really frustrated. And then I was like, Marlies, you just need to embrace this culture and just make it part of you. So I was so relaxed and stress-free by the end of that month there. It was incredible. Really, really loved that. But then in Indonesia, I would say, was probably my biggest culture shock. So to give a bit of background on that, I first went to Bali because as I arrived, the host asked me if I could only come in 10 days time. And and so he basically bailed on me. And I was like, I came here so that I could volunteer. I'm not here on holiday. I'm here to come volunteer. I want to learn. So that was quite frustrating for me, but I guess as part of traveling, you need to learn how to deal with all of these curveballs, and that's part of the adventure. But yeah, at the time, it was really not a good time because I had food poisoning and I just had so much to deal with at that specific on that specific day. So it was a lot to deal with. But so luckily I could get in touch with another host. So it was okay. I had a place to stay and volunteer at for 10 days. But then I moved over to the island that's right next to Bali called Java. And there it was quite a big, very, very different. The most people there are Muslim, or it's a Muslim-based country, whereas Bali was Hindu, and the Hindu culture for some reason was a bit more in tune with me. I really liked that. But the Muslim culture was a little bit different, so it just took some time to get used to that. But there they explained on the profile that it was a simple house, and it was, so I assumed, maybe they don't have now a TV room and a lounge and a braai room. Maybe they just have, a kitchen space and rooms. Also, something else that's important to mention, on all of the profiles, there are reviews, and there's many ways to, like accreditations almost, in a way. I don't know if that's the right word, but you can make sure that the hosts are solid before you go there. Which is a really, really nice thing for a woman as well. Anyway, so I get there and I am the only person in the whole house who has a bed. The son sleeps in the hallway on a mattress. The granny also sleeps on a mattress. I was really, the kitchen, it was really so different to anything that I had seen before. And many people live like that, and it's fun. Like at the end of the week, so I ended up being there for a little bit shorter. I was there for a week. By the end of the week, I'd gotten used to it. But when I got there, I was also really tired. So it was a really big shock for me, especially the bathroom situation. By that time, I also was used to the squat toilets. But there wasn't even a shower. It was like a crib type situation. And you scoop ice cold water with a bucket and just like throw it over your head. And all of the water flows into this courtyard where the dishes are being washed, the laundry's being washed there. So your shower water is just flowing through here. It was really, I cannot describe this to someone who
has this. Sounds been like there. The culture shock you were looking for.
You definitely received the culture shock.
It was really intense. Yeah. So I got it. I got what I was looking for, but it was tough. You really realize that, we take so many things for granted. I mean, I got used to cold showers, but I took for granted a shower head. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they say cold showers are good for your immune system and your whole everything. So even health benefits of this culture shock.
Exactly. But, except I'm not quite sure how good you actually clean with the bucket system. After the week when I had a proper shower, I felt clean for the first time. Whole week.
And you also felt the plates you ate from were also clean and not washed with the water. Well, that sounds interesting. But so just on this, just to close this off, the Indonesia part. So your goal was to stand in front of a class, but did you actually do that? Did you teach?
So I did. That was also much, I wanted to learn from him. I wanted it like a mentor system, whereas he wanted to use the volunteers as a way to, as a great opportunity to practice with the children, the conversation side. So I did a lot of small talk with them. So ask basic questions and practice responses. So it wasn't quite what I wanted out of it, but maybe if I had put more effort into communicating beforehand. There was also a big language barrier because although he's an English teacher, his English isn't that good. So Yeah, I think if I maybe had done a little bit more communication with him or get a better understanding of what my role would be, I would have been better prepared. So it wasn't really what I had expected from it. But I did stand in front of a class.
It sounded at least like you had all the exposure and the, let's say, life experience or different directions of experience you were looking for. So out of the three, is there something that you now feel like, okay, this is more pushing in the direction that I'm wanting to go?
So I need to make this very clear, also for other people who maybe do something like this as well. Don't put the pressure on yourself to try and get a career or a job out of this hole. So from the beginning, I knew that I cannot put that pressure on me. It's going to take away from me being open to discovering lots of little discoveries that can lead me closer to this. So a couple of things that I realized was, for example, that I like an aspect of creativity in the work that I do. I also like it if the work that I do has a variety of different things, because sometimes I get quite bored doing exactly the same thing. So little nudges like that. I also really like planning and organizing things. So I sort of use that now to then direct my future career.
And then, so I think you've touched on this a bit, but I just want to ask the question like more directly. Would you recommend this to other people? And also, is this something you would do again?
So I would 100% recommend it to other people. I think it's a wonderful thing to do as part of a gap year. I think instead of going and seeing all the places, go and volunteer. And as I mentioned, make a difference somewhere and find what type of things that you like to do before you make the big decision of what you're going to study at university or something. Because, yeah, I met quite a few people who did that and I was like, oh, I wish I did that. I mean, I'm happy for my path that led me to where I am today. But if I could do it differently, or I would encourage other people to do that. So I really would recommend that. Also, maybe it's just me as well. I love the slow traveling aspect. It's so nice to really live with the people, eat what they eat, and do the stuff that they do. Like, it's such a much more culturally rich experience for me compared to the people who I met who went through the whole country of Laos in like a week. There were 2 days in each of these places, and then they say they experienced the culture, but they didn't really. They got a touch of it, but it doing it this way, I really, if you want a cultural experience, go live in a place for a month. And yeah,
I want to drop in there, like we were one of those that were there for holiday, and we left. I hear Marlies probably says more correct than me, Lao. I say Laos. I'm still not sure what it is or what we should say, but let's stick to Lao. We left Lao, and I told Laverne that we have to come back again. We experienced too little of the actual culture, and then she said, okay, great, we might go back in future, but let's make sure that our future travels involves more of, like you mentioned, Marlies, a culturally rich experience. And that's what we just did in January, is where we stayed for 13, 14 nights in one place with locals, experiencing 2 weeks with them in Kenya and working there at a conservancy. And it was amazing. It's a totally different experience. And I do not think that I ever want to travel in a different way again. So even if you haven't made all the differences in the world that you wanted to, you definitely made a difference in the way that me and Laverne view our future travels. And we've had a taste of it now just in January. And I can almost assure you that 9 out of our 10 travels going forward will be done in that fashion.
Yeah, it really sounds cool, because you relax and you take your mind completely off everything that stresses you out. and you make a positive impact. I think it sounds like something I should also, or we should also have a look at. And then obviously me and Edwin, we are sort of more permanent type. Well, we are expats, so we are more in a permanent situation outside of South Africa, whereas your experience was 3 months. Did this experience make you appreciate South Africa more, or did this make you question, is there more out there on the other side? Do you want to see more places? Do you think you might go and live across the border somewhere? Like, how did that impact your way of thinking about where you will want to live? I know this is a very, very long, long-winded question.
I feel like I might step on some toes here.
No, please. we're all about the let's understand how other people view things.
When I was volunteering at the Elephant Sanctuary, something that was really prevalent to me there was this is where I'm happy, living in nature. And that's really something, I'm super happy if I don't live in a city one day. I don't need that. I mean, it will obviously take some adjustment because we are used to a lot of luxuries, but I definitely think it made me more inclined to live in a more rural place one day. So maybe in Africa somewhere. But I think, so that was something that was nice for me. It was also the cultures that I experienced. It was something that I, like the one in Laos, where the people were, the lifestyle was so slow, and it was like, it was in time with nature. I don't know. This is so weird. I've never experienced something where it wasn't like stuck to time and like constantly checking your watch. It was amazing to live like that, and I think that's something that I would like to strive to achieve in my life. But yeah, it was a big culture shock for me to come back to South Africa, because many of my family members have never traveled before, so they think very closed-mindedly, and I prepared myself to, I've experienced this freedom and all these interesting people, and then I tell them about this incredible person, and they're like, that is so weird. Like, ugh. And then I'm like, no, but this was like my favorite person. I learned so much from them. So yeah, I think I drifted off your question, but
no, but I think the conclusion we all have is once you've set foot across the border, you can never unsee it. You can never unhave that. It's now part of you. So I mean, we had this conversation in previous podcasts, like you were used to on Zakif trailer, the venter. We're going on holiday once a year for 2 weeks. If you live in Cape Town, that's different. But us coming from Gauteng, we're going to the South Coast, Bikini Son, and back. But once you go across, the opportunities are just endless. So just to finish off my question, or to allow you to finish your answer, what is the next step? Like, are you going to do another round of this in the future, or do you also think of maybe doing this a bit more permanently?
So from a career point of view, my goal was to expose myself so that I can make a clear decision on what the next step is. So Edwin here gave me a very good suggestion that you can get exposure to many careers through having a coffee date with someone and having a nice chat. You don't need to go first do a course to figure out, okay, I don't like this. So when I came back, I did a lot of career coffees with a couple of careers that I was interested in. I reached out to people. So that was awesome to sort of guide the next steps where I would apply for jobs, etc. So I'm busy in the job hunting process now. But I would definitely go overseas again. I would love to go back to Laos as well, to Luang Prabang. Really, that place. I don't know what it was.
It's still yours.
I would love to take my life partner as well and go volunteer again through Workaways. I would 100% do that again. Yeah.
No, wow. Awesome. No, it sounds amazing. I'm really proud of you that you did the career coffees. That's the thing that I just a little shout out to a friend, Curtis. Yeah, he was I'm gonna send this podcast onto him as well. I got that from him. I learned it from him. But in any case, we are gonna wrap up this conversation to some degree, but I do want to just let the listener know. In the show notes, we're going to leave a link to Workaway, and we're also going to have a short description on what you actually did on your trip, on your 3 months plus. But yeah, I must say, at least every time, it's been a while since we caught up, but you are so mature. I cannot believe that you are 24. Like, honestly, that's also the thing that I think a good thing that people should take into account is when they do go and travel, if you do consider doing a workaway, is to be honest with yourself. Are you a spoiled brat, or are you mature enough to have these culture shocks come your way, and to then make that sustainable difference as you mentioned? So honestly, from my end, I just learned a lot again in this conversation, and I'm so grateful that you had this experience. Yeah, I don't have any questions from my end any further, but I'm very glad that you had this awesome experience, and I hope that other people also get this, and it definitely changed, like I said, Laverne and my our mindset, at least, yeah, on how we will travel in future.
Yeah, and I mean, for me also, this was super impactful, inspirational. I was like almost seeing how to quit my job now just to go and travel to somewhere for a few months. It really sounds very cool. So I think, yeah, we're indeed close to time. Marlies, thanks again for joining us, having a chat with us. I think there's so much more we can discuss, so you never know, we might knock on your door somewhere in the future. Anything else from you, any last note, something you think you might want to give other people that think of doing this?
Oh.
Or anything else? Anything else?
So one thing that was very prevalent to me, and I feel like this is an important note to give to people who plan on going to travel, your problems don't go away when you travel to another country. So address your insecurities, your fears, all of that. Like, that's something that just popped up for me. You need to deal with these things. They don't just, it's not an escape to go travel and go do this for a year. You need to address these things. And also, be present wherever you are. There was a moment where I was on social media and I was like, why are you on social media? Look at what the people are doing back in Cape Town. Walk outside, go see your own place. So I think, yeah, just practicing mindfulness wherever we are and trying to see how can we make the biggest impact in our lives, like going to volunteer on our holidays.
Yeah, well, I must say, these are two pieces of bio-evasive word. So thanks for that. And on that, I think I wish you both a great day. Have a good one.
Thank you, Marlies. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, buddy. So